the privilege, Lord God, of being able to see you and to inquire in your temple, to dwell in your holy place and come into your most holy place to look upon your beauty. Even, Lord, to sit upon the mercy seat. We say we are grateful. We want to thank you for this access that we have into your very awesome presence. We do not take you for granted. We thank you again for your visitation with us this afternoon, giving us, Lord God, this time in your presence. Oh, how precious and wonderful it is. Thank you for your awesomeness and love. As a token of our love and gratitude, we say we are grateful. As I come, Lord, to bring this word today, again I come fully conscious, totally aware of my inability, the human limitations of my mind, both to deliver this word and also for us to receive it. We are grateful because mercy is available again. And so, Heavenly Father, I, under the throat of my fathers, strip myself of every comfort I have in my preparation and understanding, Lord, what I know, all that does not matter now. I beg you, I beseech you for mercy to be faithful, to bring forth this word as a word in season, a word brought forth in accuracy and the power of your spirit. I ask for fresh anointing and mercy upon my lips, to make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. As I speak, you will write your words upon the hearts of your people, causing our Lord this word to go forth in accuracy and power, in great clarity, yet in the simplicity and the love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, doing an eternal work in the hearts and lives of all that hear it, here, myself included, and later on, Lord, electronically, by other means. And wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power will back it up, causing men to be not just hearers, but to be doers of the things which they hear in the name of Jesus. I further ask you to help me, Lord, to be precise, to be concise, not to say anything unnecessary, bringing forth from the treasure of your word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. And I speak, Lord God, let there be a free flow from you through me to people. Let your power and your presence fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble, submitted to your will, O God, and our emotions to be controlled and tempered even more by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for the mantle of my fathers. I humble myself under their anointings, and I ask that you put their mantles upon me and able to bring forth this word as a word in season, as they would have were they to preach it themselves. As I speak, let the river of life be a refreshing to all, but especially to them. As they drink and eat of this vine they planted, will be tremendously satisfied with the travail of this earth. I thank you, Father, because you are faithful to us promised. We will not lie today. We pray, ask, and receive in the wonderful name of Jesus. And the people say, amen and amen. We consider great. I bring today by the grace of God is what I believe the Lord gave me as an offshoot. And I want to thank God for the choir. Even the pastor preached my message in the morning. Amen. Amen. And I want us to thank Pastor for his significant input. Pastor so gracious he came to sit with me for over an hour on Friday. Just, you know, reviewing this thing and talking to me and giving me encouragement. Even Mommy too, when you were praying yesterday, Mommy, you gave me some additional word when you prayed for all the intercessors last night. So it's a concatenation of many different inputs. And I want to thank God for this privilege. And I trust it will be a word in season for all of us in Jesus' name. Now, if we were to ask most of us, Christians, particularly all of us, and say, how do you think you're going to be assessed? How do you think God is going to judge you? Most of us will think, well, you know, maybe what we do, what we have said, how we treat other men, exactly what other men say about us, amen. You know how we all look at what other people say. And in one sense it's true, but that is not the full truth. God doesn't judge the way we do. You know, we men, we look at somebody on the outside and say, ah, what a great man of God. Really? What does God say? God says, not him that commends himself, but him who God commends is the one that is truly commended. Amen? We say, ah, God has blessed that man tremendously. Really? Are you sure it was God that brought the blessing? Amen? And we need to be very careful, because even a prophet, like the prophet Samuel, if he could be deceived, then any one of us can be deceived. Amen? How do you remember when prophet Samuel went to anoint one of the sons of Jesse? And the first one he saw, he said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. And God said, no. He said, I have not judged him. I've judged him and I've rejected him. Because a man looks on the outward appearance, but I, God, look upon the heart. Amen? So it's good to have a nice outward appearance, but God doesn't reckon you by that. What God reckons us with, and Pastor told us, is that God looks upon the heart. Amen. So if God looks upon the heart to judge men, we as gods in training, amen, somebody. The Bible says you're all gods and all of you are children of the Most High. Amen. We as gods in training should also judge ourselves first, and then others by what goes on in our hearts and in theirs, in our minds, our wills, and emotions. Amen. And this is a scripture that Pastor taught us the last time. We're going to start right there. That's a very good place to begin. What defines who we are? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Very familiar scripture with most of us, all of us in this house. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Forgive me. Yes. For, let's read it together. For, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, it's what is thinking in his heart that makes that man, or willeth, more accurately, because it's will that, you know, we'll talk about that later. But in essence, that what is going on in his heart is what ultimately determines and shows what that man is going to be. Amen? And the scripture reveals to us, through the Apostle Paul, that our thoughts will be critical in the day of judgment. Give me Romans chapter 2:15, quickly. Romans 2:15. So it's important we need to pay critical attention to our thoughts. Amen? The Bible speaks, this is talking about what is going to happen when God judges the Gentiles, compare the Gentiles with those who are circumcised. And he's speaking here about the Gentiles. It says, which show the work of the law written where? In their hearts. Their what? Conscience. Also bearing witness. And, now check this out. Their what? Their what? Meanwhile doing what? Accusing or else excusing one another. Give me this in the NIV. Let's see what it says. Hello, somebody. No, if you back up, says next verse. NIV, back up one verse, please. Thank you. Back up one verse. Thank you. Yes, we show that the essential requirements of the law are written where? In their hearts. And are what? Operating there, with which their consciousness, their sense of right and wrong also bear witness, and their moral decisions, their arguments of reason, their condemning or approving thoughts will what? Either accuse or perhaps, depending, defend them and excuse them. Next verse now. Next verse, please. This will take place on the day when what? God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. In other words, there's a day of judgment. And that day is upon us now in the church in particular. The Bible says that the time has come, the judgment must begin where? At the house of God. And this is the paramount parameter for judgment. Amen? The Bible says your thoughts either accusing or excusing you on that day. Amen? So let's know this. Pastor taught many years ago in the foundation of faith classes. It says our thoughts, our motives, our methods, and our means all are being recorded. So that when we get to the time of judgment, everybody will stand, and all the thoughts we thought, in addition to all the actions we took and all the things we've done, will be taken together, and that's when God will be able to judge. That's how God is going to judge us. But the sad truth is that most of us do not pay attention very much to our thoughts. And you know why that is? Well, one reason why is because simply because they are secret. Amen. Nobody can. You can't see my thoughts unless I tell you what I'm thinking. So. You can look different on the outside. The Bible says, when he speaketh there, believe him not. There are seven abominations in complete abomination. Speaking fair, but the thoughts of his heart are abominable. Amen? Only secret. That's the word. The word is secret. Your thoughts are secret. Amen? Now, you can ask me the question, what if our thoughts are secret? Can we know your... Yes, you can know your thoughts. Why do you keep saying that all the time? Judge yourself. Don't you know what you're thinking? Don't you know what your mind is, what your heart is telling you? Look at your heart. And the Bible says also very clearly, Proverbs 27 verse 19, you don't have to go there. It says, as in water speaketh face to face, so the heart of man speaks to man. Which means that, just like when you look in a pool or body of water, you can see a mirror of yourself, so also you should be able to look into your heart and find out the manner of man that you are. Amen? But the sad truth, and this is why I believe God's having to preach this message, and all the powerful things pastor spoke about earlier on, the sad truth is that many of us, and I've been there too, I'm learning because mommy has not left me alone. They always say, why did you do that? Judge it. What was the reason behind that thought? She'll be telling us, she'll be speaking to me personally. I mean, she's not going to be speaking to me personally. She's telling us the hidden surface. Talk. Find out what's in your heart. Check your heart. Your heart will tell you who you are. Many of us don't do it because, one, we're afraid of what we might find. Hey! Hello, somebody. As always said, we're afraid of what we might find. Number one, then, because we don't like to hear the truth about ourselves most of the time. That's why they stone prophets, mommy. Because the prophet will tell you the truth. God tells the prophet speaks to you. When you hear the truth, you say, I'm saying thank you, I receive you. Your first instinct is to stone the prophet. You will not be like that in Jesus' name. Amen. You will love the truth in Jesus' name. Oh, amen. And many times because it lowers our self-esteem. You know, we have this attitude. We have this idea of who we are. And the word of God comes and it breaks down that attitude, that image. Talk about that in a minute. And then we say, no. You know, we have this funny phrase. We talk, say, God sees my heart. Nobody has ever said that here. And God sees my heart. I did this, but, you know, God sees my heart. Now, sometimes it may be true, but many a time, the consequence of your action stems from your heart attitude. We need to understand that. Amen, somebody. Amen. We need to be like David. The Bible says David was a heart that was always asking after God. He said, search me and see. He wasn't afraid that God was searching. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see, thank you, Mom. If there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the path of life everlasting. We should have to say that all the time. Lord, try me. Can you say that? Can I say that? Hello, somebody. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Amen. In that wicked way, are the people who don't obey instruction. The reason why the heart is wicked is because it's not obeying the instruction given to it. Amen. Wickedness is not obeying instruction. But this should be our prayer. As we grow and develop into the gods which God has made us, we need to develop this heart like David and have a heart that is malleable in God. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. In other words, he was always trying to develop and have God's heart. We must do the same. Amen. Particularly in this time, this day of judgment, and in this time of the manifestation of the glory. Amen. Now, here we go. Pastor taught us that our thoughts come from three sources. So our thoughts come from God, they come from Satan, and then they come from ourselves also. And he also said that that Satan, our thoughts, and Satan's thoughts are one and the same. Amen? Nobody said amen. Okay, you don't think. Okay. You're only thinking godly thoughts. Everybody, you're only thinking godly thoughts. Amen? You have never had a thought that you said, where did that come from? You've never had a thought like, what did I just think? The truth of the matter is, all of us have that thing. Sometimes you go, you wonder, why am I thinking like this? All these thoughts of depression, all these thoughts of, you know, defeat, fear, all these things, those aren't your thoughts. They're from the prince of the power of the air. Amen? But they're designed to create an image of yourself inside you that you will now act out. We're getting that right now. So the essence of this. So, you know, talking about these thoughts. And I began to ask, I said, God, so how do you keep these godly thoughts? What happened? And the Lord was gracious. It occurred to me that there must have been a time when all of man's thoughts were godly. There had to be a time. Because we weren't made like this. We became like this. Amen. And so the Lord opened my eyes to see this in the book of Beginnings. That's a good place to start. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 in verse 26. A very familiar scripture, but the Lord opened my eyes in this portion of scripture to see what exactly happened when man thought his first thought. Hello, somebody. Genesis chapter 1 in verse 26, where we see how God created man. Shall we read together? Now, let's go. And God said, let us. Pastor was saying this morning that God is a Trinity. Now, so we see here again. Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. This was God's original plan. The three persons of God had got together, and they decided to create their masterpiece called man. You and I. That is our forefather Adam. Now, but he said this. So the plan was to make man according to two specific parameters. Let us make man how? In our image, after our likeness. Two things. In God's image, after God's likeness. So, give me now Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. God showed me this. He said, man was made in these two parameters. And the Lord God, now this is how he did it. This is the actual, formation of man. God says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So, see two things here. First of all, God formed man from the dust of the earth, and he formed him in, the pastor was teaching us the other day, they used Lord Jesus as a template. He used the Son as a template, they formed him, and they formed the likeness of God. The hands, the feet, the eyes, the neck. John chapter something, chapter 6, somewhere that talks about, till now have you seen his shape. So God has a shape. So they made man in God's shape. Amen? That's why we all men have the same shape. We have the same head. If you actually have, God forbid. Amen? So regardless of where you come from, regardless of your color, of your skin, where you're genetic, you have one head, two eyes, a nose and an ear, one mouth, and all these things, the same shape everywhere. Amen? Now, let me show you what I believe God showed me. This is what happened as man was made as we were cursed. Keep your finger in Genesis there. We'll come back in a minute. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1 now. It says, man was made, formed from the earth in the appearance. Let's look at it. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 5, quickly. I want to see this word likeness. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was what? Their appearance, they had the of as a man. So you see the word appearance there, co-joined with likeness of a man. Next verse. Give me verse 26. Ezekiel 1:26, please. Quickly. Again, we see the same thing. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance. So likeness, appearance. Of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the of a upon it. So, essence is this. When you speak about the likeness, and I spoke with Pastor about this, the appearance and likeness are the same. So when man formed God, when God formed man from the dust of the earth, he was made in the appearance of God. He looked like God. He was made just like God looked. So when you look at him, you see, looks like a God. But guess what? This masterpiece had absolutely no life in it. It was just there, an appearance. All the things formed. But for God to make man in his image, he had to do something totally different. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. In verse, where are we now? Verse 7, yes. Look what it says. So God formed man, in his likeness. And then he said, and then what? He breathed into his nostrils. Notice he used words. You see, God is very precise with words. He didn't breathe into his belly. He didn't breathe into his leg region. But he says he breathed into his nostrils, in his face, where the mind, the will, the soul is. He says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and it was only then that man became a living soul, a conscious personality. Amen? I bind the spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. So, here we see it. He looked like God, made in the image of God. Everything was complete. Incidentally, something just passed through my mind as I was praying. You know, there's an element called selenium that is found in only two places in the entirety of creation, in the ground and in the body of man. Which tells you that man was actually created from the dust of the earth. But that was not what gave man life. What gave man life was a breath of life that was imparted into his mind, his will, and emotions by the breath of God. And he became a soul, a living soul, a conscious person. Not an ordinary living soul, but now one made in the image of God. Not just in the likeness, but in the image of God, with a soul, mind, will and emotions, with thoughts of his own now, but arising from the image that God breathed into him by the breath of life, the Holy Spirit. This is what happened. What do you mean? What makes God? What makes man like God is not what is in the flesh. Not in the physical body, folks. But the image, the likeness, not the image, but the image of God imparted into your soul, the mind with emotions by the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. The image of humility, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, all these that typify the breath of life. The nature of God. So the question is, why do we spend so much time, we Christians, pandering to the dictates of the flesh? Allow the lust of the sin nature in our flesh to lust against our mind, the nature of God in our mind, will and emotions. Amen. The Bible says, crucify, mortify the flesh, and make it as lifeless as it was before the breath of life came in it. So it was always going to be subject to the power of God, the life of God in our minds without emotions. That's the answer. So the soul, the spirit, we always have ascendancy in the soul, and then the spirit will sustain every infirmity of our flesh. We see that in Pastor Monty. You know, the ascendancy is being cast down. So you see them doing things. They have reserves of strength that I'm believing God for. Come from California to the Lawrence, to be back to this, and come do life for it. Do the care of the churches, and it's looking so young and so strong, and he's like, they're just doing this. Allah, the arm will grow in Jesus' name. I like your fair grow. You know, I just see that. I see that literally taking place in their bodies. You look at Pastor and say, Pastor will go to bed. Like if you get a lot of us talking to 12 midnight, he goes to bed and then paying 4 o'clock. One, his eyes open. It's not magic. It's the power of the Spirit. Amen. Sustaining the infirmity of the flesh. Amen? Amen. I covered that, sir. It all will grow in Jesus' name. But let's go back to Genesis now. So, the image of God, help me, Lord, breathed into Adam's soul, made him a conscious living personality. He now had thoughts and actions of his own that made him think and act like God. What do we see? We see Adam, first of all, naming all the animals. He did that. This was God testifying his creation. You know, God gave me an assignment. Let me see this thing that he has done. He named all the animals. There's nothing that suggests that he was a big task for him. He had dominion over all the flora, the fauna. Everything was going dingy. Until, may God have mercy on us. Until the day he sinned. That's why sin is so terrible. Lost everything. Lost everything. So the spiritual connection between him and God was terminated. Severed. And gradually, oh, help mercy on us, Lord. The image that God had put in his mind began to be distorted. So he was no longer the God that God made him. The first thing that came was fear. That's a typical reaction of anybody who's alienated. Fear dominates. As the pastor was saying today, you need to overcome that, to kill it completely. Amen. He was afraid. I heard your voice and I was afraid. And God said, I was naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? Three things changed. His perception of God changed. A person who used to walk daily with God now begins to run away from God because of sin. Ah, God have mercy on us. We must conquer that sin. We must get that sin nature out. Instead of running to God, the Bible says, when you sin, you run away. Typical human reaction. Then his perception of himself and others also changed. The light went out, and he now saw himself not in God's eyes, or what how God had made him, but now saw himself naked before God. He and Eve. And he went to hide. And then, as all men do, Adam tried to blame God. But as he said, what happened? He said, you are the one that gave me. The woman you gave me. You gave me the woman to be with me. And he gave me of the tree and I did eat. Question is, why did he eat? Why couldn't he have told the woman, no, you are in authority, you had dominion? Amen. Folks, these same things are in ourselves too. These are the symptoms of the fallen nature. So, the image of God breathed into Adam's soul began to change. His thoughts began to change from God likeness to sin and to death. It took Adam 900 years to die because God was so infused in him. And when he died, I can't imagine what it was like the first time he became sick. He wonders what happened. What's going on? What's going on? What is this? So as he may change from life to death, this evil image, and his evil folks, was passed on to his seed. We saw Cain kill Abel because of jealousy. And it kept on going on and going on and going on until all the generations of man. Give me Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis 6, 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was what? Great in the earth, and that every, not some, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is what sin does. That is what happens to a person who is disconnected from God. Even though it was made, given the image of God in his mind and emotions, made in the light, so he still looked like God though. But he was nowhere, no more. Yes, sir. He had the appearance, but inside there were multiple abominations. Amen. Amen. He's lost. The Lord have mercy on us. Anyway, so this is it. And that's how we have arrived at our present situation. Well, not us, I mean at the present situation of man globally, worldwide. Give me Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, quickly. Jeremiah 17. This is man's heart. Unregenerate man. God forbid. Eh? Who is it? This one doesn't say it right. Please. Give me the Amplified. Thank God for giving you. But the Amplified is the one we need to look at. Folks, this will not be your portion, Jesus. It will not be your portion. It's eternally in Jesus' name. You're going to change and move from this. But this is where we all begin. The unregenerate heart. Bible says the heart is deceitful above something. Everything else pales in insignificance to the deceitfulness of the heart. And it is God's word. It is exceedingly what? Perverse and corrupt and severely mortally sick. Stop. What does that mean? It means that if you don't get that stuff out, it will kill you. Physically, mortally sick. Say, who can know it? Who can perceive, understand, be acquainted with his own heart and mind? Only God. Only God. Only God. Only God. Thank God. Jesus said, many of us have been doing some of these things that Pastor was preaching this morning, getting the signature, and we talk about the ministry already and all that. We're moving away from this horrible absolute. Begin to change our hearts gradually by the power of God, bringing life back to bear upon our souls, will, minds, emotions, and on our flesh. But this is Adam. So this is what happened. Like us, like Adam, is the image of the thoughts of God that we create now that take us from this place. We create them by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Pastor told us that words paint pictures. So the words that we speak, the words that we imbibe, the words that we hear, paint pictures in our hearts. And guess what, folks? Those pictures don't go away overnight. Many times. I'm using it as a negative example. They're also positive. How many people have watched a horror movie? I don't do it. I don't. Let me care. I run from them. Not that I'm not proud of you, but out of common sense. Says all things I say, experience. For me, it is inexpedient to sit down and watch a horror movie because my mind will be recalling you for the next 10 days. Hello, somebody. I just can't understand why people can do that. Instead of watching a horror movie, watch a movie that is, you know, edifying. And then the source of edification will come back for those 10 days. Why waste your time listening to junk? Children? Hello? What you're feeling paints pictures. So it's a picture that you have that's going to dominate your mind, your will, and emotions. And then it manifests your words, your thoughts, and conducts, making you either like devil or like God. Amen? That's it. Amen? There's a power in the air, folks. Pastor, talk about it. I won't go there again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. There's a power in the air that seeks to dominate and lord it over the thoughts of the sons of men. And there's a God that has blinded the eyes of the whole world who do not believe to the light of the glorious gospel, lest it should shine in. There is a satanic plot, a satanic machination to keep you in his image. Thank you, sir. That's the word. In his image, not in God's image. Bottom line, it's your thought life, huh? Like the thought life that dictates your words, your actions. How many things have you not thought about? What have you ever spoken about that you have not thought first? Words are simply, you know, volumized thoughts. And your actions follow your thoughts. So this is critical, folks, because something is about to break forth. Critical. Give me Jeremiah chapter 6. Oh, help me, Lord. Jeremiah 6:19, please. Help me, Lord. Hear, O earth! This is the prophet Jeremiah speaking. Behold, I will do what? Bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened to my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. But the essence here is this: evil thoughts bring evil fruit. Good thoughts bring good fruit. Make your choice. Yes. I was going to say that. Luke, give me Luke chapter 6. Luke 6:44. Pastor David Peter. Luke 6:44. Help me, somebody. Every tree, trees represent men, is known by his own fruit. For of false men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather the grapes. Next verse, please. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. Notice the good man is related to the good treasure in his heart. You cannot say there's a good man and he has bad treasure, evil treasure in his heart. It follows. What's in your heart will determine who you are. And it's in God's eyes. As a man thinketh, so is he. The way it finishes. And an evil man out of the evil. Come on. Can you treasure evil in your heart? Did you hear that thing we read in Jeremiah? About the heart being mortally sick, corrupt. That's evil treasure. And some men choose to be like that. Their own choice. They will not obey instruction. They will not do what God has said or do it sufficiently. That's what you're saying. When you reject instruction, God calls it wickedness. Because you're not doing the thing that will clean out your heart so you to have good treasure and bring forth good fruit. And then God, having said, the heart of wicked is of little worth. God can't use it to channel power into the earth through your wicked. You will not be wicked in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is it. So, question and help. Look, how do we change this for our own good? So we have good treasure in our hearts, not evil treasure. Well, first and foremost, thank God because he has a stated purpose. This is God's mission statement for you and I. Give me Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, please. God has a mission statement concerning, and when God sets out on a mission, he will accomplish it. Amen. He says, my word that goes forth out of my mouth shall not return to me void, but it shall go forth and accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it, and guess what? It shall prosper therein. Amen. This will prosper in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Look what the Lord said after Israel. Jericho to Jeremiah said, the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel After those days, saith the Lord, after those days are these days. Amen. These days in which we are in. New Testament. Thank you, sir. This is New Testament Hebrews. Amen. Saith the Lord. Now look what he says. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God. And because I am to them a God, in their minds, in their hearts, by what I write, they shall be to me a godly people. Amen. We see that. And he says, I will write. How is he going to write? Who's going to do the writing? The finger of God. The Lord Holy Ghost. Thank you, sir. He's going to carve like he did on the tables of stone. That was the laser power of the Holy Spirit. Writing the Ten Commandments for Moses and his people. He's going to write that same commandment, all the laws of God, on our hearts. Amen. But we need to cooperate with him. Amen? So, how do we reconfigure our hearts? This is what God wants to do. It's a reconfiguration of our hearts. Amen? By the power of the God, of the Holy Spirit, which is by the blood which cleanses sin that was there, and gives access to the mercy and grace of God, and then by the word of God. And, folks, like he said here, oh, he changed it now. Okay. Where it says, I'll write them on my hands. The mind is the battleground. Hello, somebody. What you do with your mind, but your mind and then the will also. So I put them in minds, write them in their hearts. So the mind, the will, and emotions are also involved. But the mind is where all this thing goes into. Amen? The battleground where the spiritual forces of the Lord clash with the forces of the enemy. The forces of the enemy called the spirit of disobedience. That will not be one that's governing you in Jesus' name. But the essence is, the mind is the battleground, and everything that's going to take place in your flesh, your conduct and what you say begins with what's going on in your mind. The mind, yes sir, the mind is the place where you need to start. But I'm not saying anything here about that. I'll get back to later. So, how do we do this? How do we cooperate? First of all, give me Romans 12. Thank God for the scripture. I came up, doing the ministration. Romans 12:1. Papa Rav gave us this. What it says. How are we going to change? How are we going to transform? Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, Apostle Paul. He had a revelation of this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Alright? You present your likeness. But now, look what it says. How will you not be conformed to the image of this world? It said, be ye not conformed to this world. Now, how do you do that? Be ye, what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you'll be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Transformation begins renewing of the mind. What does that word mean? Transmission, going from what was before, and you come into a new reality. Transformation. Papa Rav told us a transformation. Then there's a configuration where we are conformed. Sorry, there's a conformation. We are conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ so that he will be the firstborn among many brethren. And then there's a transfiguration literally into his image and likeness when the glory is made manifest. Amen. But it all begins with a renewal. That word renewal implies there's something that was there that is old. It needs to be brought out so that something new can be deposited therein. The Bible says he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. That's the purpose. Takes the first image away to establish the image of God-likeness, godliness. Reason your eyes, you picked it up. That word just came to you now, sir. That's what it says. Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thy image in its place. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's what we're about, folks. Amen. The time has come for those who have removed that image totally to come forth like the second Adam. Glory to God. Ah. So how do we do this? Well, first of all, we assume it, but let's assume that you get born again. You must be born again. It cannot happen if you are. Thank you, sir. You must be born again. Because without that, you have no access to all the tools that we need to do this. Amen? Absolutely nothing. Then you have to pull down or put away or remove that old image, that thing that was there before, the image of sin, the image of darkness, the image of Satan. Let's call it what it is. Sir, you go. I can go home now.
2 Corinthians chapter 10.
Good. Oh, hallelujah. Are we getting something out of this? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Help me, Lord. Verse 4. Glory to God.
For the weapons.
Oh, come on, guys. Be with me.
For the weapons of our warfare.
There's warfare.
Are not carnal, but they are mighty. Through God to the what?
Putting down of strongholds.
Next verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing.
And there are many high things.
That exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity one or two thoughts. Every thought to what?
To the obedience of Christ.
Folks, there's warfare. The Bible says there was war in the heavens. Michael and his angels fought, and the devil and his angels fought, and they did not prevail.
Hallelujah. Brother said, the enemy is cast down. You all have heavenlies. Your heavenlies are your mind, your will, and your emotions. And there's constant warfare going on there.
Let me correct that. The warfare is in the mind and the emotions.
The devil can affect your mind and emotions, but he cannot touch your will. Because that, if he could, you won't get born again.
He will stop you from getting born again. Your will is inviolate because it was given you by God. You make the choice. But you see, what he does is that he uploads,
forgive me that word,
uploads into your mind all kinds of images. And then from the outside begins to afflict your emotions. And you begin to see things contrary to what God has spoken. Begin to see what's in your mind. See, what you put in your mind is going to ultimately affect, yes, your will. That's his strategy. But what happens when you get, that's what happens when the man is unregenerate. He's constantly being bombarded from the outside as well as from the inside because his spirit is connected to the junk in creation. That the devil rules out, the God of this world, he has a direct pipeline to his spirit. Amen. But when you get born again, that connection is severed. And then the spirit of God plugs in. So now you got a chance.
Before you are without hope in the world.
Well, now you have a chance because the fountain of sin is broken. And so God now begins to impinge on that mind godly thoughts from the spirit. You begin to have godly thoughts. But on the outside, Satan is still there. And then the sin nature is still inside the mind with emotions and flesh. So he uses that as a fifth column and begins to impinge. So there's a constant warfare. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary ones that say you cannot do what you would. But over time. Over time. We got to stay with it, folks. We stay with the warfare. Huh. How will you allow your mind to be darkened when God has promised you the mind of Christ? Amen. It's a travesty of justice. Hello, somebody. So we must enforce God's total dominion over the kingdom of God. Give me Matthew 11:12. Please give me the Amplified.
We know what it says. The Spirit, I'm telling you, from the days of John the Baptist now, I don't know, the kingdom of God suffers violence.
That does not say the way it should be said. Look at what we're talking about. We're talking about warfare. From the days of John the Baptist.
Hello, guys. This is one of my favorite phrases in Scripture.
From the days of John the Baptist until the present time, including now. The kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. And now check this out. How many people want the kingdom, the total dominion of the image of God in your mind with emotions that will affect your conduct, your words, and make you God in the earth? Not make you like God.
Thank you, sir. I heard that thought.
Make you like God. You cannot be God, but you can be like God. Amen. Small g. Yes, so, at the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault and violent men seize it by force. As a thank you, sir. It's a prize. It's not a gift. The prize of the high calling of godliness in Christ Jesus. Godliness revealed in Christ Jesus. Oh! A share. How many people want their share of the kingdom? Yes! It's sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Folks, this is not a cakewalk.
But by the grace of God and the just like Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus did this. Test within the days of his death. Held a presence of him with what? Strong crying. Intense exertion. How many remember the Garden of Gethsemane? The exertion was so intense. Blood vessels broke in his skin and began to sweat blood. Ha! And they were requiring from Ashley, tuke, like a Vespa. I don't even know what Vespa. I don't even know what Vespa. It won't work. Intense exertion, travail. Yes. So your prize in the heavenly kingdom, or the prize of the kingdom in your heavenlies, you will seek by intense exertion. Why am I saying this? Folks, we are going through a time of intense exertion on the behalf of our nation. Now, I want to say this is true for the nation too. This 2 Corinthians chapter 4, go back. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, is 4 and 5, is true for the nation. It's true for physical strongholds. I mean, when I say spiritual strongholds, not in us. But look where it begins from. Give me that scripture back. 2 Corinthians 10, 4. Quickly, please. 10, 4, 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 4. I want to see something there. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to put in our strongholds. All right? We talk about casting, stop putting down strongholds. We're going up. All that is true. But look where the process must begin. You first of all got to cast down the strongholds and the thoughts and imagination in your mind before you can be able to cast down the efficiency with the strongholds, the spiritual strongholds in spiritual faith, the principalities and powers and the wicked. Before you make war in the heavens above you, make war in your own heavens and win. Very important. Begin with thoughts, imaginations. What are strongholds? Pastor taught us. Strongholds are those thoughts we've already had, we've already interacted with, we've already done, amen, that have generated a physical effect. There's a tangible effect. You can have a stronghold, for example, of God forbid, of overeating. I just used that. Amen. It can be a stronghold of you know, whatever it is. You must watch Premier League every Saturday. I used to have that stronghold. God broke it. God used mommy to break it. Because on Saturday, you have to pray. After a while, you will stop thinking about Premier League. What happened to us? No, I don't even worry anymore. Okay, shall I still lose? Okay, fine. We are praying. What was the one that wasn't so? You have to get your fix. Premier League on Saturday, your body will do hey. Kinon Shele. West Brom, man, play the knee. Of his champions. Yeah. Kinon Shele, Barcelona. Oh, my goodness. Stronghold! Am I talking? Am I talking to somebody here? Amen! Amen! To stronghold! Or every Sunday we must eat eon. You know the devil gives you different things. There are different varieties of strongholds. Cast them down! They are good strongholds though. I must say that. For a good stronghold, for example, is on Tuesday now. I know that Tuesday, Wednesday, fasting. Stronghold. Build it. Okay, sorry. Tuesday only. On Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday. No? Tuesday! And if you don't do it, you will not rest. Because it's a stronghold. You got to do it. A pastor, a stronghold, every Tuesday. You can't, wherever pastor is all over the world, if you call him on Tuesday, once it's not Tuesday, the time where he's at, he will be able to reach. But on Tuesday, wherever he is, if he's in California, he's too drunk. If he's Wednesday here, but if you call him on Wednesday, when it's Tuesday in California, you don't share it. You don't have anything. He won't answer you. At the very best, praying XTLV. It's a stronghold with him. XTLV, don't forget. We'll phone later. Stronghold. Get imagination. What's an imagination? Imagination is something that you are contemplating, you've been ruminating. It's been going, it's been bouncing around in your mind. You haven't acted, but it's about to take action. It's an imagination. And it was Bruce that said the imagination is the most wicked nation of all. Imaginations in your mind are wickedness. God forbid. Amen. And then thoughts. Thoughts are just arrived impulses. You haven't done anything, but it's a thought. Now, you're not responsible for the thoughts that come to your mind,
What you are responsible for is that Pastor Jay preached something for that day. One that you open Coke for and say, sit down, we're talking. Can you imagine you open Coke for the thoughts in your mind? Oh, my friend, you want to cast it out, bring it to captivity as long as it's not of God. Amen. Okay, so this is it. So, now, here we are. So, how do we do this? So, we're now pulled down by travailing prayer. Very important. That says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, making tremendous power available. Folks, we need to review our life of travail. I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to you. You know, sometimes we can be fooled thinking we are doing the right thing. And we are really not doing, like I said, you know, you can't be sound like a Vespa and you are thinking of travail. When travail is going on, it's not like Vespa. No, it's not the noise. It's the connection. But you see, if there's an urgency, if there's a passion, there's a way you will pray. Amen. I don't know, am I saying something right with me? If there has to be passion. I don't know how to put it. I don't know, there must be a passion. There must be an exertion. There must be an intensity. Amen. Observe the way that goes in and goes. Shut your eyes. Put your neck. Put your head between your kneecaps and pray.
Amen.
So, by travailing prayer, we do this travailing daily, Pastor said. Daily, we take our cross daily. Amen. And also do it weekly and monthly. I'm not going to go there. If you want to go there, check the scripture in 1 Chronicles 23, verse 30, which speaks about the duties of a Levite. There's a daily duty, there's a weekly Sabbath duty, and there's one that is a full moon. But the essence is we need to do this consistently. So we pull down satanic strongholds. We cast down satanic images and bring into captivity every, not some, thought to the obedience of Christ through travailing prayer backed by the life and the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is it. Jesus said, as I hear, I judge. You need to hear your thoughts and judge them, and then the ones that don't work, cast them out. So we now, how we do this? We're now rebuilding that image through travailing prayer. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4:19, "There's my little children of whom I travail till what? Christ be formed." The image of Christ be formed in you. Amen. See all these things that travail does. Oh, glory to God. And then we begin to speak the word regularly. We speak in the understanding. We make confessions of faith, all of our general confessions, the confessions we make at the end of travailing prayer. And even in travail, you're making confessions. Amen. By the Spirit, there's some confessions you make in the place of travail that are so powerful. Amen? But you don't know what you're saying. God is speaking to principalities and powers through you, casting down those. Remember, the first place you need to cast down those imaginations, pull down the thoughts in your own mind. Bring those thoughts to captivity. They're not going to release the power of God through you to overcome those in the heavenly places. Amen? So we direct the power. When we now pray to travail, we speak the word of God daily, weekly, to release the power we have generated in prayer. We pray, we travail, we speak the word, we declare the word, having in our minds that we'll have whatsoever we say. And then finally, which is where the sermon pastor taught us, we now direct the power release in travail and now by our words, by using our thought. Very important. To bring that power we generate and release to our mind, will, emotions, casting down imaginations, pulling down the strongholds, and bringing to captivity every thought. So we bring that into our bodies. So we can now think and then act like God for that day. It's a daily thing. You must do it every, folks. Pastor said something that shook me. He said it about a week or two ago before he traveled. He said the problem is that when we pray, we travel like this. We release the power, speak the words, and then contrary thoughts come to us. We don't capture those thoughts and fire back in our thought minds. The power we generated in prayer, Satan captures it and then he uses it for his own purpose. Power is power. He's going to use it against you for his purpose, even though you're the one that traveled to bring it out. We need to be careful, folks. This is one of the things that took me and said, wow. So the power that you don't direct, if you fail to use your thoughts in thinking, that's why this message is so important. But see, how can you use your thoughts properly if there's a wrong image? There's an idol there that is not God. Think about it, folks. God will have mercy on us. Amen? Now, I want to finish. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Help me, Lord. I want to show something, Pastor. He just said it on the fly. And I thought, what does Pastor say? But then, sometime in the bathroom, earlier, later on, and I just asked, this is what Pastor was saying. And it really hit me hard. We saw two things. First of all, let's look at Yes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We're going to Philippians 4, 8. This is what they were singing about. It was a confirmation of what the Lord was helping to say. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, or good report of excellence. God has not left it to our minds what we should think about. He has told this is what you need to be thinking upon all the time. Hello, somebody. Now, give me verse 9. What's that? No, yes. And I saw this also. He said, so as you're thinking those goodly thoughts, you need to be under covering and obedient to spiritual oversight. He says, as you're thinking these thoughts, what certain things are true, pure, love, your good report of excellence, virtue, praise, as you did these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's that talking about? It's talking about submission to spiritual oversight. Being under covering, obedient to the prophetic and the apostolic leadership God has placed over you. As you think these thoughts and remain under covering, humble yourself under covering. God says the God of peace will abide and dwell with you. Amen? Amen. So it's vitally important, help me, Lord, to make sure our thoughts are being used to pray always. Now, finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, 17 and 18. God showed me something here. The pastor said, he just said it on the fly. He just spoke about it. And I said, what's he saying? But sometime later, I think it was when I was taking my bath, God now began to open it up to me. I want to share with us, I believe, the way the Lord showed me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17. It says, 17 first, please. Thank you. Pray. How? Sometime. Without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Next verse. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will, the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we pray without ceasing, we give thanks. Amen? Amen? Give me Philippians 4, 6 also. Keep this in your mind. This is the will of God. Philippians 4, 6. It says, Philippians 4, 6. Hello? Be careful for, but in, remember the everything in 2 Thessalonians? It says, in everything give thanks. We used to say, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, hello, are we reading together? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So in everything, and we go back to 2 Thessalonians, and then it says, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything. Philippians 4 says, pray, supplicate, and give thanks in everything. So, what do we do with this? We say, Lord, concerning that situation, that petition, could be a situation, could be a thought. We're saying this in our minds. Lord, petition, have mercy, supplication on me. Thank you, because you're working on it. That's it. It's so simple. It's amazing how we don't do it. It was just a mercy that I opened my eyes to see. In everything, you can do this. Anybody can do it. And all this backed up by the traveling prayer in the back. So that's all in the background. And then all throughout the day, you just say, when the thought comes back, you say, Lord, would you petition him? That situation, that thought. Have mercy. Thank you. You're working on it. Petition, supplication, thanksgiving. Now, by the grace of God, it was pastor that gave you all this backed by the power of God to direct your words. The power that you release into every thought, every your mind, your will, emotions, and all your circumstances. And the result is great peace. The Bible says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts you. That the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep garrisoning your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And so your thoughts are thoughts of peace, both towards God and towards all men. What did Jesus, when Jesus came to the earth, what did God say? Glory to God in heavens and on earth, peace. Because our peace is in him. In him we have our peace. Finally, one last thought. Three things you must not do. Pastor David preached this and used Lot as the example. You have to be careful, number one, where you dwell. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Amen? One thing have I dwell in your house. Behold the beauty. That's where you need to dwell. Don't dwell with people where there's evil communication. Don't dwell with where people are companions. Don't be a companion of fools. The Bible says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You will not be destroyed in Jesus' name. Watch where you dwell. what you see. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and give life to me. Amen. The eye gate, you need to monitor your eye gate, folks. In this particular day, it's not easy. But God will put you, if you don't go where you shouldn't be, you will not see what you shouldn't see. Amen, amen, children.
Amen.
All of us are children,
amen,
of God. Amen. All right. Now what you hear, cease my son to hear the instruction that causes it to err, especially music. I can't get across that. My music is a satanic toy. And the one that the children listen to like most is this, what do you call it, rap, gangster. I was in New York in the 80s when that thing began. It began from rebellion. The roots of gangster rap is rebellion. And that root is still there. Be careful, children. And it goes to all of us too. Once you see, what you hear, all these things. So, we close. Do not be deceived, folks. Let's pray with Travia. Cast down every satanic stronghold. Pull down strongholds. Cast down imaginations. Bring into captivity every thought. Renew our minds by the word, the spirit, and the blood. Use our thoughts to direct the power released in prevailing prayer into our minds, our wills, emotions. So we rebuild, and not just rebuild, but also reinforce that image of God, that God image that we lost in Adam, but now has been restored to us in Christ Jesus. This is the will of God for us. We give thanks in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, Jesus.
That is a great message. If you conquer your mind, you're done.
Amen.
And the big problem of the church today is the mind. We have recreated spirits, but foolish minds. So Satan still controls through the mind, even though we're born again. That's why we have carnal Christians and everything. So let's stand to our feet as we close the service. I just want you to... I was about to say something very interesting. I want you to make up your mind to mind your mind. It sounds like tautology, but it's the truth. Make up your mind to mind your mind. Did you get it? Everybody, give me a wave offering. Turn to your neighbor and say, make up your mind to mind your mind. Shall we say it this way? Be vigilant in your thought life. So many of us, we have 90%. This is a very good statistic, because it used to happen to me. When I first got born again, I had to, over time and over the years, I've changed it. Let me say 70% of our thoughts are idle. Have you noticed yourself? You're inside the car. You're traveling to Lagos and Ibadan. You're also looking outside. You're looking at the trailer. You're looking at the man who passed by. You're looking at this. No thought of God. You go on like that 1 hour. You're thinking about all kinds of those. Suya, like, is that what we're going to get there? I was trying to have bread. This bread. I do foolish thoughts. Koloshanua. I'm telling you. Most of the time, you know, people's minds are just idle. You know, it's a workshop for the devil. You don't necessarily have to think a bad thought. An idle thought is as bad as a bad thought. You have to think. Don't think. Let your thoughts be constructive. Let your thoughts be tools for directing the power of God. Something is happening to me now by the grace of God. And I didn't get there overnight. You will get there. No matter what a person does to me now, how bad, my first thought is mercy and life. It used to be, you know, I look at somebody doing something bad or behaving in a way, mercy, Lord, give life to them. Have mercy on them. I do that, I can't tell you how many times a day, maybe 1,000 times. It's always happening, you know. And I discovered that I have power now to help people. There's power in the air, so I can direct that power for their good. Sinner and saint. Sinner, and I see it working in their lives. You know, right, and myself, for myself. Something, when any silly thing comes to my mind now, immediately I just say, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, receive your blood, your life, your power. Bam, the thing just goes. It goes because of the power that has been generated in prayer before. You see, when you pray, you put the power in the air. The power is already there. All you now to use, just use your thought to direct it. Instead of letting your just thought just be idle. The Lord is going to have mercy on us. The Lord is going to have mercy on us. Your thinking, I love what Pastor Boyega said. You know, the fruit of your thoughts. What the fruit you are bearing is a fruit of your thoughts. You are what you think. You are what you are now is what you are willing and what you are thinking. May God have mercy on us. May God have mercy on us. It will not only affect you, it will affect the people around you. With your thoughts, you can dominate what is going on around you. Have you noticed something about Jesus? You know, whenever Jesus will go to sinners, the Bible says a friend of sinners, but once he's there, everybody's talking kingdom. These are sinners, oh. And he's sitting down with them, they're eating in their house and say, oh Lord, how shall it be? How will it be? How can we eat bread in the kingdom of God? They're all thinking something. There's an aura, a halo. Because he's constantly transmitting. So even the people around him, their thoughts want to start aligning with what, you know, because what's coming out of him is more powerful than what is coming against them. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Oh, God will help us.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renewed, flowing from the rains that I found in you.
What a song! What a great lyric!
Is I see, yeah,
we'll be stripped away
by the power of your love.
Hold me close,
hold me close.
This is probably one of the most important messages you will ever hear. Dominating all these series we've been preaching on your mind, praying with your thoughts, is going to determine your destiny. You will be the fruit of your thoughts. A great man of God wrote a book we all read many years ago, not all of us, but many of us who were here some years ago, Eagle Saints Arise. You have two kinds of Christian, chicken saints and eagle saints. The chicken saints, their mind is earthbound. Have you noticed chickens are always looking for worms and everything in the earth? All they can see is all the things, earthly things. But the eagle saint arises and his vision is heavenly. His vision is, the eagle is flying in the air. He's not seeing what's on the, he can see what's on the ground, but he's far away because he has such good eyesight. But his vision and his goal is in the sky. Which are you? Self-assessment. And then you decide to change. Start thinking on these things. Then you become an eagle saint. You start thinking in the heavens. You start thinking like God. And don't think like the chicken, the one on the ground that just, you know, look, you know. That's prayer we pray. You know, give life to me so my soul not cleave unto the dust. I don't stay chicken. Put your hand on that head. Raise the other hand to God. Say, Father. Oh, say, Father. I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the vital importance of minding my thoughts, being careful what I allow in my mind, what I will with my thoughts. Oh God, have mercy on me. Come and help me by your mercy, your grace, the power of your spirit, Lord God, to use my thoughts profitably, to use my thoughts to do your will, to use my thoughts to honor you, of things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of excellence, and of praise. Help me not to allow my thoughts to be idle. Help me not to allow my thoughts to be wasted. Help me not to give my thoughts to Satan. Help me to always use my thoughts for your glory. Help me to think like you and so become like you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, put your hands down. We're still going to pray. One very important thing I want you to do, start practicing this. Thank God for covering, and we pray for you. Now you pray the one you can pray by yourself. God will add it. You see, covering is not a substitute for your personal prayer. It's a supplement. Essential supplement. So you take what you have prayed. God will now mix it with what we are praying. It's called a synergy. Synergy means to synchronize two sources of energy. We are providing, as your pastors, a source of energy. then you are praying in obedience, you know, and you're providing another source of energy. Then the two energies are now synchronized together by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you have that as a backing for you. When thoughts come to your mind, like Pastor Breaker has taught us, you know, you say, Lord, have mercy and thank you. It's so simple. Just remember those. Every say, Lord, mercy, thank you. Say it again. You don't even need to know Bible. Now, of course, you need to know your Bible later on. If you can't even remember any scripture, let's say, for example, a thought of fear comes to your mind, you know, or sickness or something. Just say, Lord, have mercy. Don't let this sickness, you know, dominate me. Thank you. You don't even have to quote a particular scripture. You see, it's not the letter that matters. It's the spirit. If you say, if in your mind, you say, Lord, if you say, Lord, deliver me, help me to overcome the sickness. Same as by stripes and Jesus, I'm healed. The same thing. The spirit is the same. Because what you're asking for is healing. Whether you use the word by the stripes of Jesus, or whether you say, Lord, help me, you know, and then heal me, it comes to say, now, it's important to know scripture. Don't misunderstand me. I'm going to run away what I'm saying. I say, Bible says, no. You need to know the Bible. You know, many times you say, Lord, or you a thought of financial lack comes to your mind. Lord, have mercy. Supply my need according to your riches in glory. Thank you. It's so easy to use your thoughts. The problem is we're so used to being idle. So our thought life is very, very uneventful or negative. So remember that. Anytime a thought comes to you, say, Lord, you know, they ask for mercy in that situation. If you can remember the scripture that gives that situation, quote it directly. If it is not, just ask, you know, help me in this situation. Help me to do this, or help me to do that, or have mercy on me and deliver me from this. You know, all you see in the book of Psalms, what was David's thoughts of what he was going through when he was running away from Saul and everything? They were just natural. Oh Lord, let not my enemies overwhelm me. Come from his heart. He says, I lay me down and I slept. Many be are they that rise up against me. He says, but I laid me down and the Lord sustained me. I don't know how David was able to sleep during those years. Every day he was not sure that he would see tomorrow, because Saul was after his life. But he learned this secret I'm sharing with you. He learned to pray. Thank God. Thank God. He would sleep in the cave, sleep in the hills and in the mountains, in the woods. No house. A vagabond. Just roaming around the whole place. But God sustained him. And God saw him through. Because he learned to trust God in his heart. The last scripture says, when I am afraid, then will I trust you. The Lord told me the other day, he said, perfect love casteth out fear. It doesn't mean the fear will not try and come in. But he casts it out. So when the thought of fear and temptation, when it comes, you push it out. Remember, I will put one hand on your body and raise the other hand to God. Let's have our healing scripture. It's very important. And this one area you should use your thoughts. Never sign for any sickness. You know when DHL comes to your house or courier, they will bring a package. They'll say, this package is for Mr. X or Mr. Y. They'll say, is he at home? They say, who can sign for him to receive the package? If you don't sign, they will take it away. They won't leave the package in your house. Isn't that true? You must sign for anything Lucifer brings. And you sign for it with your thought. If they bring anything, you just say, sorry, wrong address. We don't receive cancer here. I'm sorry, this is not the place for that. May you take it down the road, but this house, we don't take it. Amen. It's all at the thought level. So when a thought comes, reject it immediately. And then thank God for your healing. Everybody, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Therefore, sickness does not have any legal rights in my body. I am legally free from every sickness and every disease by the stripes of Jesus. And by his resurrection, life, and power, I am healed. I release healing power into my body from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. That life is made manifest now in my mortal flesh as healing, medicine, and health. I release it into my heart, into my lungs, into my kidney, into my liver, into all of my blood vessels, into every cell in my physical body, into the DNA of the nucleus of every cell so that they operate error free in the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Nera, Jiki Tufritz, Nofridilis, Nigragas, Jeas, Nofridis, Nofridilis, Nofridis, Likdolos, Nifridis, Rakas, Jeles, Nufritz, Nofridilis, Nofridolos, Tufris. In Jesus' name. Now we come. Just before I share the grace, I want to share a very short testimony. A very simple one. Extremely, I haven't even told my wife this day. On this trip we were in, you know, just before we came back, I think it was the day before we came back, I got up in the night, you know, pray and all of that, and my whole eye was red. And it started getting watery. The devil said, Apollo, maybe you expose yourself. You know, all these thoughts were coming to my mind. I didn't open my mouth to pray. It was all at the thought level. To give you a testimony, it was all at the thought level. I just said, Lord, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. I release healing power. I've been confessing and praying all these days because I pray for myself weekly and monthly and all of that. I said, I release it now into this eye, you know. And I command, you know, the essence of what I said was I release that healing power now into my eyes for completing it. I didn't even lay hands on it. I went back, my wife knows, you know, I pray, then I go, you know, then I went back to sleep, you know, because I get up maybe around 4, I'll pray until maybe 7 or something, and I might sleep for an hour, go on holiday, between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock or 9, then we have to get up and go somewhere. It was gone. Completely gone. And you know what would have happened if I had accepted it? It would have gotten worse. Then we're going to start looking for eye distance for somebody to use. No confession. Just thoughts. But of course, every week I confess this scripture. And I pray for my healing. So there was power behind my thoughts. I just remembered it. And it was so, I looked in the mirror like this. The eye was red and watery. I didn't even tell my wife. I just prayed about it. I didn't disappear. So there's no point sharing bad news.
it.
Amen.
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 Join hands with somebody.
Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Amen.
Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you.
Amen.
Lord God gives you peace.
Amen.
God makes you head and not tail.
Amen.
Above only and not beneath.
Amen.
Everything you set your hand to is successful.
Amen.
You are at least 10 times better than your peers.
Amen.
You possess the gates of your enemies.
Amen.
Even the gates of death.
Amen.
So you will live and you will not die.
Amen.
You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation. Even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name.
Amen.